And welcome to the Court of Appeals, September 24. We have six matters on our calendar. Two are live and in person, two are live and through interactive video, so we'll be taking a short break after our first two, and then we have two non-oral. We do commence with the matter of Gust G. Respondent versus City of Moorhead, our file number A190659. As counsel is aware, each side will be allowed 15 minutes and then five additional minutes for rebuttal if appellant so desires. If counsel would remember when you reach the podium to identify yourself for the record, you can adjust the podium if you need to. Also pay close attention to the timing if you would. And appellant, as soon as you're ready, you may proceed.
Thank you, Honor. Good morning. My name is Jim Thompson. Court and counsel, I'm appearing on behalf of appellant City of Moorhead. This case was previously before this court, and at that time, the court remanded it for two issues. One is whether the Johansons could proceed with a declaratory judgment as a remedy, and two, whether the city could impose what the court referred to as pre-levy interest in proposed special assessments. The declaratory judgment is no longer an issue. The city stipulated that it was a proper remedy. So the only issue before the court is the pre-levy interest issue. And what is meant by that is, under the facts of this case, the interest that we're talking about is two things. One, interest on bonds that the city issued to finance the public improvement projects for which the special assessments were imposed in this case, and two, the cost of the city's money in one case, one situation that it used to finance the project rather than borrowing for it. The issue before the court is strictly one of statutory interpretation, and those statutes are Minnesota Statutes 429.031, 0.051, and 0.061. And those statutes authorize the city to include in a special assessment costs associated with a project or expenses incurred in connection with making the improvement. So that is the issue before the court.
Mr. Thompson, I notice our clock hasn't been operating yet. We're probably down to about 13, just to be fair to both sides.
Thank you. That's why those referees pay attention during football games.
Thank you, sir. You may continue.
Question for you. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of case law, and you both cite to the same cases. And so, since there's not a lot of case law, if we were to publish, what would your syllabus point be?
The syllabus point for the would be this, Your Honor, is that interest cost that a city incurs in financing a project is a cost of a project that's authorized to be assessed by those statutes. Now, I will grant the court that other than Galmer, which is an unpublished decision, there isn't a specific case dealing with interest. But there are cases dealing with types of things that are included in cost. And they include more than just what you pay the contractor to do the work. For example,
I'll pause you before you go further, because maybe I wasn't clear on your statement of the holding. I'm not sure that your statement, you referred to costs incurred, interest incurred by the city. And I think one of the issues in this case is whether there is actual interest being incurred by the city, which self-funded the project. Maybe could you restate the proposed holding in light of that circumstance?
The proposed holding that I would propose to the court is that interest that a city pays on bonds that are used to finance a project are costs of a project that can be specially assessed under 429. In addition, the cost that a city incurs when it uses its own funds, because one of these projects involved the city using its own funds, is also a cost. And I would cite, now granted it's unpublished, but that is Galmer. In Galmer, the issue was the city paid for the project cost out of its own funds. It included in the assessment an interest factor of 7.5% for the money that it used to pay for the project. This court, in an unpublished decision, said that's a cost of the project that can be included in an assessment. Now, other types of costs, albeit not interest, that the court has approved in published decisions are engineering costs, the city's own engineering costs, the clerical expense costs, and then the Gaumer case. And each of the...
What do we do with Section 429.061, Subdivision 2, that provides that a city cannot add costs to a special assessment until it levies the assessment?
I respectfully say that's not what 4061 Subdivision 2 says.
Okay, tell
what it says is this, is that the city cannot incur periodic interest. Once assessment is assessed, they can, when you adopt an assessment, let's say the principal amount is $100,000. The city can include an interest factor of 4% on that. So if the assessment's paid over 10 years, the property owner has to pay $100,000 plus 4%, just like a mortgage. What that section says is you can't include periodic interest before the date of the assessment. You can't do that. That section is not on point. It's not a section that we're relying on in this case.
So then are you making a distinction between periodic interest and capitalized interest?
Yes, Your Honor, there are two differences. Now, the question of capitalized interest is somewhat of a misnomer. Capitalized interest is interest that somebody incurs from an accounting standpoint when you finance a project. The court in Gaumer referred to the interest, the 7.5%, as capitalized interest. I'm not sure that exactly meets the definition of capitalized interest, but I don't think that's the issue. The issue is whatever you call that, the court said that 7.5%. The city didn't incur a 7.5%. It used its money. It paid for the project. So it was out those funds. So the city said in the assessment, we're going to add the principal amount of the assessment. We're going to add, if it costs $100,000, we're going to add 7.5% to that because that's the cost that we incur in using funds. So I submit to the court that 061 subdivision 2 doesn't apply in this case. We've never relied upon it. The trial court didn't rely upon it, and so I don't think that's one of the issues that's before the court.
Can I ask Mr. Thompson, both parties believed a declaratory judgment was appropriate and that summary judgment, your client brought summary judgment as well, so I assume by that your client believed the court should have declared that this interest period that you're wishing to include in the proposed special assessments proper, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Now, that being the case, then, the judge made a specific finding in her order that the interest that's charged was not a cost of the project. So if we're left with the record, where and what in particular, I'm assuming you believe that was an error by the court, and if so, where do we look in the record specifically to find that she erred in making that statement?
Your Honor, I submit to this court that, with all respect to the trial court's decision, she did not conclude that this was the cost of the project. What she said was allowing interest to continue to accrue was problematic. Never cited any of the statutes that are before this court, just concluded it was problematic.
You're saying that the statement that this was not a cost of the project was a legal determination, not a factual one?
No. I think whether these costs that we're talking about are a cost of the project is a legal determination
right.
Based on the statute. What I'm saying is the trial court didn't look to those statutes. I think it was
right,
more...
I guess I'm just recharacterizing your argument, not to dispute you, but just to go to Judge Slater's question. You're saying that was not a finding of fact, but basically a legal conclusion by the district court as to whether this cost is attributable.
That's correct, but I even question whether she made that conclusion because all she said was allowing interest to continue to accrue is problematic. That's exact words or exact quote.
Can I read that? Maybe I misstated, but on page 10 of her decision, what sets this case apart from Gaumer is that the interest here is accruing over time and is not interest that was actually paid by the city in order to finance or complete the improvement.
I agree she said that.
Okay.
Again, but actually paid is not the test. There is not one, that phrase is not used in the statute. And what this court in the previous opinion said in Gaumer, it cited Gaumer, and on page 10 of this court's previous opinion, it says, in Gaumer, the interest was actually paid to complete a project. It was just a statement by the court interpreting Gaumer, okay? It wasn't a legal determination by this court that that's the test you use to determine whether a cost can be assessed. Now, I again, respectfully submit that the facts in Gaumer actually showed that that interest was not actually incurred. The city didn't borrow $100,000 and pay 7.5% interest on that money and actually incur that cost. It was using its own funds, just like the city did here on this one project, and the facts are indistinguishable. In addition,
just one quick, I don't know if the facts are, the other reference that the district court made here may have made the facts distinguishable. The concern wasn't just, it was an ongoing and indefinite nature of the interest that concerned the district court here. And I gather what the district court was concerned about is the possibility that that interest is accruing and a liability is growing over regarding a parcel that may never become annexed by the city.
That's correct. And I agree that was a trial court's concern. And I agree that's an equitable issue. And if it's never annexed, it never gets assessed. But what I submit is this, there is safeguards on that. Number one, as we pointed out, the property owner can come in and pay these assessments at any time. It's happened before in the city. It's in the record. Number two, there is a safety valve here, which is the amount that's assessed can only, it has to equal the increase in value of the property. So there's a cap. I don't know what that cap is. We won't know that until it gets assessed and they get a chance to appeal that. But with respect to accruing interest.
But you say up to the value of the property.
Up to the increase in value of the property caused by the public, created by the public improvement. So let's assume the amount, if you hadn't included the interest, was $100,000. And then when it comes to be assessed, it's $300,000. If the increase in value is only $150,000, the city doesn't get to assess the $300,000. I understand the equitable issue about accruing interest, but quite frankly, that happens even in a periodic interest case. For example, senior citizens can get deferred assessments. And when they get deferred, there's interest applied to that, and they don't have to pay it. And it's unfortunate because a lot of people don't understand that, but by the time it comes to pay that, that it's like deferring the interest on your mortgage.
But those are assessments that have been levied.
That's correct.
And here we're pre-levy assessments.
They were pre-levy, but they were cost of the project. There are a lot of costs that are incurred that nobody disputes can be included in assessments that happen before the assessments are levied. Typically, the public improvement project is ordered on day one. Project is built, project is levied a year later. There are all sorts of costs, these engineering costs, the staff costs, that are incurring during that time frame that are allowed in the levy. The fact that this is interest should not be a distinction.
Thompson, from the Gaumer decision, the quote, and I'll just read it and see, you tell me if you agree with this. Appellants contend, and we agree, that the statute plainly prohibits the city from beginning to calculate the periodic interest due on each homeowner's assessment before the date the assessment is adopted. Isn't that essentially what the city here is doing, because the assessment has not been adopted? And as I read, it seems undisputed, there's periodic interest adding to the proposed assessment, so that if it happens 10 years from now, it'll be more dollars then than today.
Your Honor, I agree with that statement, but the interest here is not periodic interest. Periodic interest is interest that accrues after you adopt the assessment. You just can't accrue. This is a dollar
kind
amount.
Maybe I should ask it that way then, and you kind of got to alert. What kind of interest is this if it's not periodic?
Well, the specific interest on the six projects, interest that the city paid on the bonds to finance the project, that clearly is a project cost. If the city has to borrow money to pay for these projects, it has to pay interest on that. That's a project cost. Now, when the, in this particular case, when they get assessed, there's three categories. Development projects that are ready to go, they get assessed right away. Land in the city that's not ready to be developed can't use these drainage projects, and the city defers them. Land in the township, because it hasn't been annexed yet, can't be assessed either. So they defer those, okay? They don't assess them. The ones that get adopted right away, the city gets the money to pay for the bonds. The other ones, they don't. So the interest has to be, I don't know how else you could call it other than a project cost. Otherwise, the city's incurring it because they finance the money. In summary then, what the Johansons are actually arguing is other taxpayers in the city should bear this cost, not us, even though these projects benefit our property. So I respectfully request that the court reverse the decision and direct
one more question as well.
Yeah, your time's expired, but the presiding judge has allowed me to keep you there for one more moment. In what way has the city incurred the cost, incurred the interest? I understand how they've made pay the cost, but how, who is the city having to pay this interest to, given that it reached into its own pockets to pay?
Let's maybe use a simple example. Let's assume a project costs $100,000. The city borrows. A bond is just like me borrowing. They borrow $100,000. The city, they sell the bonds to bondholders, typically banks.
Right.
And the city has to pay interest on that loan. The bond is the loan.
Understood, right.
So at the end of the day, the city pays, pick a number, $110,000 after 10 years, the bonds. So that $10,000 that the city pays to the bondholders because of interest, that's where the money goes. If it can't be collected from these properties that are benefited by the project, it has to be collected from the taxpayers.
Well, that's my question. In this case, though, if the city has reached into its own pocket rather than using the bond process, how is the interest an incurred cost for the city?
Okay, that's one project. The bonds are the six projects. So six out of the sevens included bond.
I'm talking about the one that's...
Okay, managed. I'm sorry, yes. And that one, you can make an argument...
That's a larger one, right, in this case?
No, that's only one. Okay. And, Your Honor, that in Gaumer, that is Gaumer. And so it's incurred from an accounting standpoint, and we had an expert witness with an affidavit say from an accounting standpoint, that's lost opportunity. The city could invest that $100,000.
That's what I'm getting at. So it's the lost opportunity that is the cost incurred.
Yes, for that one. Yes, I'm sorry. For that one project. Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Counsel for respondent, you may proceed. And out of fairness, if you wish two extra minutes, you can let us know when you get the yellow light or something earth-shattering. You want to make sure to have time. We will grant that to you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate that. My name is Patrick B. Steinhoff. I'm here on behalf of respondents Gust and Brenda Johansson. I'll start off by answering the syllabus question that Judge Riley asked. And my proposal for a syllabus and a published decision would be exactly what this court said the first time when it interpreted Gaumer, that a city or an assessing entity can only include interest in a proposed special assessment if it's money that is actually paid for the purpose of completing a project. So the last time we were in front of this court, different panel, there was a lot of discussion about bright lines and limiting principles on both sides. On my side, the inquiry was what's stopping a premature challenge to a proposed special assessment? And on the city side, it was, what is stopping a city from proposing a special assessment in 2003 and then not adopting it for 30 years and continually adding interest until the assessment balloons to some huge number. And that's what's happening here. Let me just say a few words about the context of this appeal. This interest issue is just one narrow piece of a much bigger problem, and that is that the city is proposing special assessments for projects that were built in 2003 and 2005 are the all the projects in question were finished by those dates.
Can I ask you, if you're about to get into it, Mr. Steinhoff, do you have an answer to the where in the record the statement the judge made, what sets this case apart from Gomer, is that the interest here is accruing over time and is not interest that was actually paid by the city in order to finance or complete the improvement?
Your Honor, I can answer that in two ways. There's two arguments that the city has made here. The first is that it can, it's actually paid money on its bonds as to some of these projects. And then there's this cost of capital bucket where the city gets to charge my clients for the use of its money. You know, it's a, and as to the first one, the bond payments, I think what the judge was getting at that is in the record is that all of this interest has accrued after these projects were done. So if you look in the record, there's a adopted date of 2005 or 2007, depending on the project. And every single penny of this interest that we're talking about has accrued since that date. I mean, there's interest accruing right now that the city is adding to my client's proposed special assessments. And that began accruing after the projects were done at a rate equal to whatever rate the city pays on its bonds. So I think the judge was looking at the timing of the accrual period with respect to the bond projects. With respect to the cost of capital projects, the court was saying there wasn't any interest paid at all. I mean, it's cost of capital, that's an accounting abstraction. There's no actual money that the city paid to anybody that it's adding to these proposed special assessments that, you know.
Do you think the judge was referring to both types in that sentence? Bond for the six projects and the self-funding for the seventh?
That's what's in the record, Your Honor. I mean, she kind of lumps them together and doesn't make distinctions between the two. But I mean, I think there is factual support in the record for her statement that these aren't project costs. Does that answer your question?
All of them or just the one that was self-funded?
All of them. Like for the bond ones, this gets back to the syllabus point.
Getting to what the district court was saying, I understand your argument, but it seemed to me that the district court was referring to the self-funded project.
She definitely was referring to the self-funded projects. I don't know if she was also referring to the other projects. I would interpret it, her order to apply to both. I mean, it does apply to both. The memo supporting the order, like I said, kind of lumps them together.
Can you respond to Mr. Thompson's argument about opportunity costs being a cost to the city in the self-funded portion of the project?
Your Honor, okay. What is the limit on the city's ability to do that, okay? I was explaining the context here, and we have projects that were built 15 years ago. And the city has proposed them, and it hasn't adopted them. It may never adopt them. It has records on its website, on my client's property, both outside the city and inside the city, where this interest just keeps on racking up, and the numbers are staggering. I mean, it's already more than $250,000 of interest has accrued on these proposed special assessments. There's no plans by the city to adopt those assessments anytime soon. So if you go out to 30 years, it's $600,000 of interest. If you go out 100 years, it's $2.5 million of interest.
Well, limited by the... you agree, though, there's a limitation based upon the increase in value to the property.
Your Honor, that limitation only applies if the city adopts the assessment, okay? That's the fundamental problem here, is that the city is proposing assessments and it's not adopting them. And it's displaying them on its records, and they keep on getting bigger. So,
as I understand it, and I'm looking at your chart on page 6 of your brief, so you have the project number, the description, and then you have the year adopted. But you're saying it was not adopted for your client's property.
Your Honor, if you look, there's a footnote, an explanatory footnote, that says that your adopted column means the date on which the city adopted the assessments on other properties. So Mr. Thompson used the word deferred special assessment repeatedly. These are not deferred. There's a statutory provision in Chapter 429 that lets the city adopt a special assessment and then defer collection. So if the city does that, then the property owner can challenge it. It can challenge that the amount of this special assessment does not equal the increase in value of my property, which is what Judge Ross was getting at. Okay? Here they haven't been adopted. My client has not had a chance to challenge the conclusion that there is a benefit to his property. The city might not adopt these until 2050. My client will be dead, probably. And in the meantime, there's this cloud over his property that everybody looks at the city's records and they see that there's proposed special assessments in the amount of $712,000, and there's nothing he can do about it. I mean, he can donate money to the city, which is crazy, I think. That's a crazy idea. Why would anybody give the city of Moorhead $700,000 to clear away proposed special assessments on a bean field? Nobody would ever do that. What the city should have done, the city should have annexed my client's land, adopted the special assessment, and then deferred it. That way it can charge periodic interest as allowed by the statute. My client could challenge it contemporaneously with when the project actually happened, and the city can meet all its policy objectives. So there's a way in which the city could have done this, could have proceeded, that is not problematic or inequitable or all of the words that have been thrown about here. I mean, the big picture problem here is we have proposed special assessments that are just proposed forever. And that there's no, if you accept that cost of capital is a cost of a project, there's no limit to how long that can go. I mean, and it's causing huge problems for my client. It's ruined them. They can't sell their land. They can't develop their land. And it's all...
Sell the land, but contingent.
Well...
But there's the caveat that...
With the caveat that he has to take an $800,000 hit on the purchase price, so...
I understand the fact. That's pretty much what happened here. There's a purchase... and now your client is leasing the land, but the
Your Honor, this just to be clear, these proposed special assessments are inside the city and outside the city. My client owns a lot of land, some of which is inside the boundary. He has a total of about $7 million of these proposed special assessments. About $2 million of it is interest. He tried to sell these two parcels, these two tax parcels that are outside the city. It was appraised at about $2 million, so he agreed to sell it for $1.2 million with an option to buy it back at certain later dates. So yes, he did manage to sell these two parcels of land at a steep discount.
Mr. Steinhoff, do you agree with the Gommer Court's analysis of the statute that the allowance, the statute, they disagreed, but appellants also contend that the legislature intended to prohibit the city from including capitalized interest as a capital expenditure and a cost in the principal of the assessment. Do you agree with that statement of the Gommer Court in reading that statute? And if it was applied here appropriately, would it not be true that the city could have, I'll use that phrase since I'm asking you the question, or should have capitalized the interest, included that on the cost, and if it had levied the assessment, that would all be included as an appropriate special assessment?
Your Honor, I agree that there can be capitalized costs in a specialized, a special assessment, as long as it's a cost of an improvement, which I think, but I think there has to be a limit on what constitutes a cost.
Well, let me ask you more directly. Yes. Is an interest on a bond, and if you can tie that particular bond to fund that project, and the interest is X amount of dollars capitalized, and perhaps you could even capitalize it over 20 years and add that dollar amount, would that be allowed under the statute?
Your Honor, if there's a cutoff for project completion, I don't think it's fair to run that interest up 20 years after the project is complete and then capitalize all of it into an assessment that then runs for another 20 years. I mean, my client, if let's say this special assessment is adopted today, I mean, he's still going to have 20 years of periodic interest off that larger amount to pay. So he'll be paying assessments after everybody else has already paid off their assessments for the same project, which hasn't served this property, which is 20 years older. So I think...
So if I follow that correctly, so in theory, that would be the method by which a city, if it funded it through bonds, would pay the bonds back, because unless the landowner decides to pay the principal amount on day one of the assessment.
Right. A property owner could pay it all on day one. Most people don't have the wherewithal to do that, so they pay it over time, you know, 15 years, 20 years, and they pay interest on that amount. So that's different than... Yeah, I think the question here is the interest a capital cost of the project? Is it a cost of acquiring or constructing a capital asset? And I don't think it is if it starts accruing after the project is done. And I think when I say that, I'm in agreement with this court when it interpreted Gaumer in its opinion the first time we were here 2 years ago. You know, I interpreted that opinion as informing the court's remand instructions. Up until that point, I mean, the city was citing Gaumer. That authorizes our practices here. And then this court interpreted Gaumer to mean that interest is allowed if it's actually paid, if it is actually paid to complete a project. I think that's a suitable rule here. I think the court should adopt it as a syllabus description. And I have 23 seconds left. I don't think I have anything more to say, but I'll answer questions if the court has any.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for appellant, you may rebuttal if you wish.
You want to answer Judge Ross's questions about the trial judge's decision. The sentence, the ongoing and indefinite nature of the accruing interest is problematic. It's the bottom page 10. Skip the next sentence. However, interest is accruing on a project that the city did not even sell bonds to finance. Clearly, the trial court was using that statement with respect to one project. I still think she was wrong on that, but that doesn't apply to the six where they were actually interest accrued. With respect to the question of periodic interest in Gaumer, the previous decision in this case where they cite Gaumer, interest actually paid, the court did that in response to the periodic interest statute. The court cites the statute and says this case is not the statute because this isn't periodic interest. So I point that out to the court to show that we're not talking about periodic interest here. Your Honor, we pointed out, I understand the numbers look big here. That being said, as we pointed out to our expert witness, if these assessments had been levied on the Johansson's property, they would be worse off financially now, we submit, because the interest was higher on the actual levy than it was on the bond payment. So it's roughly a wash, but financially they aren't any worse off. Now, I understand how it feels they're worse off, but that's not true. If Councilor Johnson's have a concern here and they don't think the statute is clear, the remedy is with the legislature. If the legislature wants to cut off something and say you can't include costs that are incurred after a project is constructed, the legislature can do that. That's not the law. There are costs that a project is built. Before it's assessed, there are still administrative costs. There are staff costs that can be assessed. And there's published decisions that say that, even though those costs are being incurred after the project. The timing between a project being completed and what you conclude is completely irrelevant. It has nothing to do with that. In this particular case, I pointed it out in our brief, the Johansons previously annexed half of their property, okay? The half that got annexed was the subject to these same postponed, deferred, and when I use the word deferred, I meant deferred the adoption of the assessment, not levying it and just deferring interest. Whether you use postponed, deferred, whatever the phrase is, it doesn't matter. In the previous case, though, there were 87 and a half acres of the Johansons' property that were developed after these proposed assessments, and they paid those assessments when the property developed. And it included the, quote, interest factor. They paid them at that time. Now, they could have challenged them. They could have said these assessments, our property is not increased in value by the amount of these assessments. They have a right to do that. They will have the right to do that in this case if the property is ever annexed, and it won't be unless the Johansons request it, because that's in the record. The city doesn't annex property on its own.
That was it seemed to me the last time it was matter was on appeal, this court said there was the record didn't include that caveat as to how annexation is triggered. Was that cleared up in the remand or what?
I'm not sure that was. I thought the issue that the court was concerned about last time was there wasn't enough facts to show what this interest was. That it wasn't clear on the record what this interest was. So that's what we tried to clear up down below. I'm not sure.
I saw a reference.
But I can tell you there's an affidavit in the file recorded by the assistant city engineer that says we don't annex property unless it's requested. And that was not challenged by the Johansons. So in summary, we believe that the statute as it currently reads, which allows cities to incur costs of a project or expenses incurred in making a project, fits these two situations, and therefore the trial court just erred by not, number one, relying on the right statutes and relying on this it needs to be paid to actually complete a project language, which is not in the statute, and clearly this court wasn't intending to change the statutory standard when it issued its previous opinion. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you to both counsel. We appreciate your comments today as well as your written brief, and we will take the matter under advisement. And you each have a good day.
Thank you.